It is Leslie Ann Corrigan, and we are back with a brand new episode of the Outdoor Hour on your VOCM. I've been having a great summer so far. Certainly hope you have too. The weather's been decent. I always worry when June is nice because I think that July and August are going to come along like the lion that March is usually. But so far so good in July too. So I hope you've been getting out and getting lots of outdoor activities under your belt. If you have been getting out and about, I'd love to see what you've been up to. And actually, I kind of started a couple of social media pages devoted to the show. So if you're on social media and you're going to post up some pictures and stories about what you've been up to, I'd love to see it. You can find our page at VOCM Outdoor Hour on Facebook or Instagram. And I'll be sharing some of what I'm up to, what some of my guests are up to, and I'd love for you to show me what you've been up to. So all you need to do is post it up on your own Facebook or your own Instagram and use the hashtag Outdoor Hour, and I'll find it and I'll share it with the audience. So and do give us a like. We'd love to see what you're up to and to share what we're up to. My very first post is going to be all about my guest today. I'm super excited to be welcoming some icons, I guess, in the outdoor industry. You could definitely say that. We've got Leo Van Ulden from Walnuts and his partner Hudson Miles. Both of them joined me via telephone because certainly we're still practicing some social distancing. And some of the COVID restrictions where we couldn't get people into the studio, it's actually given us the opportunity to connect with people in different ways. So we didn't have to get the guys out of the outdoors today or out of their business. We were just able to connect with them on the phone. So welcome aboard, guys.
Thanks.
We're happy to have you. So just to give everyone a little bit of background, these guys, as I mentioned, are business partners with Walnuts, but they really are icons in the outdoor industry, certainly because we are a rock in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. There is great opportunities for climbing, rock climbing, bouldering, wall climbing, all sorts of things can go on here in Newfoundland and Labrador. And these two gentlemen have been on the forefront of that community and the industry that's built around it since the very beginning. Tell us a little bit about how you guys personally got started. Leo, we'll start with you. How did you start climbing in Newfoundland?
When I was 14, my brother, I was on a trip in BC, and my brother, Yost, he took me to Squamish. Me and my other brother, Phil, he's just a little older than I am. And, yeah, he took us out for a weekend in Squamish, and that was it. So I basically started when I was 14 and then came back here, found a local climbing club and then, joined those guys and started climbing outdoors with them. And that was in the early 90s. And then in 1995, my mom, opened Walnuts.
Wow. And so you've been climbing with these guys and growing that community ever since?
Yeah, there was maybe less than 20 climbers in the province as far as we knew when we opened the climbing gym, but it's grown a fair bit since then.
I would say. And Hudson, you're a part of that growth. So you you started climbing, I guess, through Walnuts, was it?
Yeah, that's right. So I started climbing when a friend invited me along to Walnuts. I think it was about 12 or 13 years ago. And, you know, did that for a while, started climbing outside with some more experienced climbers. And then about almost 8 years ago, started taking on a few jobs at the climbing gym, at first as a youth program coach, and then getting kind of progressively more involved before becoming part owner, along with Leo, partnering in the business with him a few years back.
Amazing. I love hearing stories about people turning their passion for whatever they're doing, but the outdoors especially, as is the theme of the show, but their passion for the outdoors into a job and into a full-time life's work. It's great. It's a great story. So tell us a little bit about the business. I know that you did start in the mid-90s. You guys have been around for quite a long time. I'm aging myself when I say that you know, I was there early on at the very beginning for a couple of climbs when I was a teenager, which is crazy to say I was a teenager 30 years ago. But anyway, there we are. but so tell us a little bit about how the business started and how and what exactly it is that you do at Walnuts for some people who may have never heard of it.
So I guess, like I said, my mom started the business and back then, I guess the business model was pretty straightforward. It was just build a climbing gym, attract climbers, and get people into climbing. And it's kind of grown, well, it has grown exponentially over the years. The past 5 years especially, I think the growth saw 400 or 500% growth in North America. And now it's seen, rather than just kind of a fringe activity or an entertainment activity, it's now seen as a fitness gym. So that's kind of maybe the best part about the business model and its changes is that, you know, the people that come here are just doing it for fitness, really. Like some people will eventually climb outdoors, but for the majority of the business we have, it's all members, lots of people in their 30s, 40s, and 50s who are climbing here multiple times a week instead of going in to a gym and, say, running on a treadmill or whatever else there is out there.
Oh, I can totally see the appeal to that. I'm not a fan of the gym myself. It just seems awfully repetitive. And you know, the only challenge is just lasting a little bit longer doing the same thing. But with climbing, I can totally see how that would be a different challenge mentally and physically for you. So it makes sense, and it's good that you guys have adapted. So, Hudson, I know that a big part of your business is with younger people and instructing instructors and that sort of thing and getting people set to go outside those stills. So tell us a little bit about the youth programs that you guys offer.
Sure. So for quite a while now, we've had sort of like an after-school, like your typical after-school sports program. So in the last school year, we had, I believe, around 75 or 80 youth athletes altogether. So a lot of them are starting off in recreational programs when they're as young as like 6 or 7 years old. And as they get older, some of them will stick with recreational programs and some of them get really interested in outdoor climbing. We also have a performance training team, which is mostly teenagers, maybe some kids who are a little bit younger who are really into it. And some of them are mainly just interested in sort of training really hard and getting really really good at climbing and climbing outdoors. But a lot of them are also focused on climbing as a competitive sport, which has been around for quite some time now and has been gaining in popularity. And was actually supposed to be an Olympic event this year had the Tokyo Games gone ahead. So we're looking forward to seeing that finally come around next year when the Games go ahead in 2021.
Amazing. So how would Newfoundland athletes, I know that's always a challenge for Newfoundland athletes in any sport to get the competition and the training that they need, but obviously with a solo sport like climbing, you're not faced with those same limitations. So how do we stack up nationally, do you think, these performance athletes that you're training?
Well, they certainly do still have some challenges. I mean, we try to do our best to offer the best coaching resources and training facilities that we're able to. Our athletes have gone to both regional and national level events in the last several years, and there's maybe a longer history of that that Leo could speak to as well. But yeah, they stack up pretty well. I think they're a very determined group of young people, and we're looking forward to seeing a lot of them continue on and see how they do in the upcoming competitive seasons.
That's incredible.
The biggest obstacle probably is just travel. It's expensive to send kids to, you know, Montreal or Toronto or Vancouver for these events.
It certainly is, and that is the challenge of being, you know, a rocky island in the North Atlantic, and it's a challenge for every, you know, from the arts to sports to business. There are extra challenges that come with living here, but then again, there's extra rewards as well. So with the young people and the programs, I mean, you guys offer everything from birthday parties, which I'm certain any mom has brought their kids to a Walnuts birthday parties, and you guys are always, you know, welcoming in new climbers and things like that. How can people get in touch with you to learn more about these programs that you're offering?
Website, walnutsclimbing.com. Yeah, I think if you type in the word climbing into Google, it will probably just kind of pop to the top.
Right.
And Yeah, like most kids are maybe introduced through a birthday party, or maybe a friend who's in our junior program kind of brings them in for their first time. Most of our adults are coming in through just intro package. So that's all kind of available online. Our bookings are somewhat limited right now because we just reopened this course a few days ago, or a week and a half ago. But as we go forward, we can kind of create more options for groups and such. But basically the website is the place to go.
Excellent. And there are lots of programs offered for the summer. There's kids camps and stuff coming up. So as we slowly go through the process of reopening, you guys will also slowly go back to normal. So people can learn more about that online. And of course, we're going to be right back. We're going to talk to Hudson and Leo all about the climbing community. And if you wanted to start out in climbing, exactly what you need to be mindful of. We'll be right back on the Outdoor Hour on your BOCN. Welcome back to the Outdoor Hour on your BOCM. We're talking climbing here this afternoon, and as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, the weather has been pretty good so far this year, so if you're so inclined to get out and enjoy the outdoors, climbing is definitely something that you can get up to. And these guys that I'm joined with today, Leo and Hudson from Walnuts, those are the guys that if you are interested in climbing on the Avalon Peninsula that you're going to want to hook up with, because these guys know what they're talking about. They've been operating and owners of Walnuts since the mid-90s. So they know what they're doing, and they're a huge part of the community that has formed around climbing here on the Avalon Peninsula. So Hudson, tell us a little bit about this climbing community. I know that there's a pretty significant social media community that's built around this, but really the community is outdoors, isn't it? It's you guys get together and you climb together and you hang out together. It's awesome.
Yeah, that's right. So on social media, certainly there's a group called Climb Newfoundland on Facebook where a lot of the local climbers, at least in eastern Newfoundland, kind of link up to sell equipment or find people to partner up with to go outside. We get a lot of climbers visiting the province who will pop in there and look for information on the best spots from the locals. There's a community out in Western Newfoundland as well. And so sometimes we'll get people who are heading out from St. John's, we'll connect with some of the folks out that way if they're looking to get on the rocks while they're climbing, while they're in the western part of the island. Of course, climbing makes for really great photos. So if you know where to look, you'll find a lot of climbing photos on Instagram. There is a hashtag ClimbNL that's kind of gradually picked up some traction there, so you might want to check that out. There's also a pretty substantial online resource for finding climbs all across the world called Mountain Project, and that was started a number of years ago by a couple of software engineers in the U.S., and it's since been purchased by REI, which is sort of the American equivalent to Mountain Equipment Co-op in Canada. So that's a website as well as a smartphone app where people can sort of crowdsource information on different climbing areas.
So this Mountain Project, I've been checking it out and doing some research for the show. So there's, you know, over 500 climbs that are documented and sort of mapped out on this incredible resource, this website. So Leo, how did the names, like who came up with, who found these hikes or these climbs and put them up there on this site? Who does that?
That's kind of a neat process in climbing, actually. So lots of people. I definitely had a hand in some of them, but basically what happens is if you find some, like if you're a climber and you've been climbing for a little while and, you know, you're motivated, you can find rock, you know, just about anywhere around here. And if the quality of the rock is good enough, then you will usually drill some bolts into the top of the face so that you can build a climbing anchor, and then once you climb the climb, which often requires a little bit of cleaning of moss and lichen, and depending on where you are, of course. So once you clean a climb, then you can name it, and it gets a kind of a grade,
which if you're, I guess the best analogy would be like a ski hill. Like, you know, there would be, depending on your ability level, each climb has different grades. So in climbing, we use numbers. And so, yeah, you name it, you give it a grade, and then you get your name on it as being the first person who ascended it, so just first ascent. And then you put it on Mountain Project, or you share it with somebody who's building a guidebook, and then it goes in there for eternity, and people can go and try the climb that you put up.
It is an incredible resource. It really is. Some of these names, though, are awesome. I absolutely love them. So German Engineered, Hakuna Matata, Yellow Fever. I mean, some of these names are really Operation Recuperation. They're awesome. So, you know, if you are just new to starting climbing, I mean, some of this is probably going to look a little daunting if you've never really tried it before, to kind of come on the fringe of a community and knock on the door and say, hey, you know, can I try? How exactly does one who has it in their mind that they'd like to give this a go, how do they start?
So certainly a lot of people start in the gym nowadays. It's, you know, a controlled environment where you can just kind of make an appointment, walk in, get some rental equipment, and get some instruction in an environment that doesn't feel too unfamiliar, where everything's really controlled. So that's how a lot start nowadays, and they might, you know, start off with an intro course with us and then go on and pick up some more advanced skills through additional training. Climbing does also have a long tradition of mentorship. That's a little bit of I'd say like a challenge for the entire climbing community across the world with, like Leo was saying earlier, with the really explosive growth of the sport in the last several years. The ratio of people who want to start climbing to people who have the experience and the interest to sort of show new people the skills that they need outdoors is shifting a little bit. But we do have a local group here. There's a Newfoundland chapter of the Alpine Club of Canada. So they do typically, you know, run some events where climbers can develop some skills in the outdoor environment as well. And then I'd say also that, you know, a lot of climbers, if they've spent the winter in the gym with us, a lot of the time the first thing they want to do when the weather gets good is they'll book an outdoor trip with us, and we'll take them out for their first taste of the real rock.
Wow, so you guys can do that. You guys offer that service to take people out and sort of guide them from the gym to the outdoors.
Yep.
Okay, awesome. And what about equipment? You know, what kind of, and I always advocate training. I know that, you know, it's easy for someone to, with, you know, we talked paddling with the Newfoundland Kayak Company some time ago, and it's quite easy for people to just go out and grab a boat at Canadian Tire and get in the water and go on. I guess it's just quite easy for people to think, oh, that looks interesting. I think I'm going to climb that. That's really not what we want to advocate. We do want to make sure people are getting the proper training, and that's something that you guys offer. And what about equipment? Is it an expensive venture to kind of get into this? Can you start off renting to go outside?
I can speak to that. So relative to a lot of sports, and maybe running or tennis, where the equipment is pretty minimal, but like if you compare it to, say, mountain biking or even kayaking, then it's pretty inexpensive to get started. Indoors, you know, like Hudson said, you can rent equipment, but if you want to start outdoor climbing, you can pretty well put a package of outdoor climbing gear together for $500 to $600, and then, you know, that equipment is usually good for about 5 years before it needs to be replaced, and then climbing outdoors is free, so it's not like skiing where you generally would buy couple $1,000 worth of equipment and all the outerwear that's attached and then have to buy a lift pass to use it. So one of the great things about climbing here is not only is it inexpensive to start equipment wise, but there's so many climbing areas that are so close to the city that you can just kind of dart out after work and get a few climbs and no problem, you know? So
And we sell all the equipment as well, of course. So we have a fairly big retail shop, a little pro shop here that where you can, you know, buy a rope or a helmet or kind of whatever you need.
Right, and buying local is always important too. We definitely advocate that as well, because too often people are going online and they're purchasing this gear that's really not made for the conditions that we have. You know, in most outdoor sports, Newfoundland and Labrador is a special environment, and what works in some place may not always work in this place. So yeah, that's really important for people to remember. Wherever you are in your local area, they know what's best for you. So if you're getting into any outdoor sport, we definitely want to advocate people visit their local shops, be it climbing, diving, whatever you're into. You can certainly find a local supplier of gear and training to look into. You can find these guys at walnutsclimbing.com. We'll be right back to talk more with them in just a little bit on the Outdoor Hour on your VOCM. We're back with the Outdoor Hour on your VOCM. I'm Leslie Ann Corrigan, and I am joined by my guests Leo Van Olden and Huston Miles. They are from Walnuts Climbing, and they are, of course, telling us all about climbing in Newfoundland and Labrador today. So before we left off, we were talking about some training and safety and the equipment that you need to get involved in climbing. Guys, this must have been a hell of a year for you guys. I guess, you know, with Snowmageddon, you had probably a week or two where you lost some gym time, but then COVID hit soon after and you guys were shut down altogether. What did it mean for your business?
Well, it's a loaded question. I think we could talk all day, and maybe everyone's heard, you know, from all the other businesses. I think what was maybe a little bit different for us is our community, actually, a lot of our members just kind of decided to support us through the whole thing. So most of our, a good portion of our members just kept their memberships live and allowed us to keep billing them monthly, which was really, really cool, and really, really helped out. And, you know, kind of between that and the and all the government programs, we didn't really lose. We did lose some revenue, but it wasn't kind of as bad as we thought it was going to be. And that's really due to you know, we can't thank them enough, our membership base and customers who, you know, are supporting local and hitting our Shopify store and coming in to purchase whatever they need for outdoor climbing. So, it's been a hard few months for sure, but, our members kind of helped us pull through.
That's really great to hear. That's a good news story for sure. And I guess, you know, I know that when we started to open things back up, and certainly a lot of outdoor activities were never really discouraged, but climbing is a little bit of a special outdoor activity, I guess, because you're touching surfaces, you travel into other communities and that sort of thing. So did you guys kind of slow down on the climbing outside even?
Yeah, I think so. I think there was a relatively organic sort of grassroots response to that. Certainly we were watching what was going on in other jurisdictions. We were seeing a lot of the local climbing organizations in major destinations sort of making an appeal for people to put a pause on any travel plans that they might have had. Of course, another consideration with any kind of outdoor recreation is you're taking the chance of having some kind of an injury, even if it's a minor one, and putting an additional strain on potentially limited healthcare resources. So, you know, where we're fairly isolated out here anyway, we didn't expect to have necessarily a mass of people traveling to the province early in the season anyway. Although certainly there were some discussions about that online with some people who maybe had plans and were encouraged to reconsider them. As far as the local climbers, I think for the most part, people were very responsible about it. We've seen that people are getting outside, and we're getting outside fairly early in the season where the weather was good. But I think that most people have kind of stuck to, you know, partnering up with people in their bubble, so they're not having too much close contact with too many people. And I'd say in a lot of cases as well, they're sort of being a little more selective about the projects that they're taking on and what level of risk they're comfortable with right now.
So much to think about, indeed. And I guess for your own, you know, as you opened the gym just a little while ago, you guys had so many protocols and regulations that you had to follow. So what are some types of things that customers, you know, that you're doing to make them feel better about coming in and doing a climb inside?
Well, for us, it is a big challenge. Again, fortunately, we had the advantage of some guidance from the larger industry. We were keeping in touch with the national sporting body for competitive climbing in Canada, the CEC, Climbing Escalade Canada. They really took the lead on advocating our case with different levels of government, as well as trying to sort of present a unified front, so establishing a reasonable set of guidelines for our industry and giving business owners like us the sort of a toolkit to guide our decision-making process, because everyone's gym is a little bit different. So we did reopen not long after Alert Level 2 came about. We wanted to get a little bit of feedback on our opening plans from the Office of Public Health, which we did after a couple of days. And that's, you know, in part because we're an industry of one, so we understand within this province that, you know, the provincial government wasn't about to take steps that we might have seen in somewhere like BC or Alberta, where there were specific rules in place for climbing gyms. So we kind of looked at the fitness facility plan and said, well, there's some things in here that don't really work for us. But we also felt that we have some advantages coming to the table. Climbers are already very much used to having to learn a set of skills and follow a set of rules around managing risk, and also just the nature of our business makes contact tracing pretty easy, where we need to check people in, make sure that we know what sort of proficiencies they're certified in, that kind of thing. In terms of what our measures are, I'd say like the challenges with climbing, you know, we've got all these walls covered in holds, which, as you say, people are touching as a matter of course in the practice of the sport. As well as some of the safety equipment, which you have to be a little bit careful with how you clean it. Not all cleaning chemicals are appropriate, say, to put on your climbing rope without maybe damaging it and making it unsafe. So what we've basically done is we've hit every other part of the equation that we can. We have people sanitizing their hands between climbs. We've made a couple extra sanitizer dispensers available in the climbing area. And even though, you know, not everyone's a big fan of it yet, we do have everyone climbing with masks on, so that we're trying to limit any kind of exhalation onto the climbing surfaces as best we can.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, people are pretty keen to get back to it. So even with the restrictions in place, you know, everyone's grumbling a little bit about it being inconvenient, but I see that most people are just happy to be back at it.
Yes, I think that's true with just about everything that we're up to these days. So now that we've got the safety out of the way and we're ready to take off, I mean, how exactly, you know, what types of climbing? You know, are there different types of climbing? I literally know nothing about it. I know it's something that I would love to do, and it's a sport that appeals to me because it can be something that you do alone, and sometimes you just need to get out there and exert yourself in the outdoors by yourself. There's nothing better. So, you know, what types of things can people get up to here? What are some of the lingo that I'm seeing on your social media?
So on climbing alone, I mean, maybe some people who are really experienced, that might be something that they do from time to time if they can't find a partner. But generally speaking, we climb in pairs just for safety, that if something does happen. There's a bunch of different types of climbing, and you can do them indoors or outdoors in most cases, except maybe ice climbing, which is only done outdoors. Mm-hmm. So yeah, in the province here, we definitely have bouldering, just what we would call like crag climbing, which is like shorter climbs, maybe up to 100 feet tall. And then we have ice climbing. Obviously with ice climbing, you're climbing ice, so you have picks in your hands and crampons attached to your feet, which have like spikes sticking out of your toes so that you can kick into the ice. Obviously you'd use a rope for that. And then with bouldering, bouldering and rock climbing in general, or cragging. There's obviously needs to be done in the summer for the most part, or when the rock is dry at the very least. And with bouldering, you're just climbing with a crash pad, which is like a small mattress that you kind of put underneath the climb. It's like a foam pad that you can purchase. So usually if a couple of people go out, each person has a crash pad, you can kind of create a landing zone. And with bouldering, there is kind of a blurred line, but for the most part, you know, the climbs are 10 or 15 feet. With that, you just kind of know how to fall, which is something we teach here. So you don't need ropes or anything for that. And then for crag climbing, there's a few different types that I won't get into, but basically, yeah, there's generally anchors at the top that are like steel bolts that are put into the rock. And then you pretty much attach your rope to those. And then while you're climbing, you just, you have another person with you who is called a belayer, and they just kind of take the slack in as you're climbing. And yeah, and so most people start with top roping. And, you know, I started my kids when they were 2, and they're 5 and 6 now. Pretty much anyone can do it. It's very, I think Hudson may have some stats on this, but it's a very low risk of injury for a beginner, even if they start with kind of outdoor climbing on a rope.
Because it does sound a little daunting, you know, when you're sitting at the bottom of this rock and you think, oh, yeah, I'm going to climb this. You know, Hudson, how safe is it? You know, is it something that people who are at the very beginning of their climbing experience that they can do and feel safe about doing?
So it's, I'd say it's all about managing risk and sort of making personal decisions about what you're comfortable with. Certainly new climbers can go outside. There are easy climbs out there. Leo and I and one of our other colleagues are members of an organization called the Association of Canadian Mountain Guides, and we're the ones who typically are leading our outdoor trips. So we do take, you know, people who've never climbed before. We usually, in a typical season, we would get a few tourists who are just looking for something fun to do and they haven't necessarily climbed before. So the easy climbs are out there, and like Leo said, most people are starting with what's called a top rope system for their safety system. So that is a pretty well-managed sort of system. There's not a lot that can really that can happen with it if you know how to set it up properly. Overall, the rate at which injuries occur in climbing is pretty low. I think it has this sort of perception as an extreme sport, but the number of injuries is, like, statistically is pretty close to what you'd expect playing ice hockey. And I don't think anyone really thinks of that as an extreme sport.
No, definitely not. And again, it just comes back to training, having the right equipment, and going with a friend and planning a trip, just making sure that everybody knows what you're up to and managing that risk, as you've mentioned. Folks, we'll be right back. We're going to take a wee break now, and we'll check back in with Hudson Miles and Leo Van Olden of Walnuts right after this on the Outdoor Hour on your VOCM. And we're back with the Outdoor Hour on VOCM. I'm Leslie Ann Corrigan, your host, and I'm joined by Leo Van Olden and Hudson Miles. Walnuts climbing, and of course we are talking climbing this afternoon. We've been talking about how to safely get into it and all the fun that you're going to have when you do, and we're going to talk a little bit about some travel with climbing and how, you know, it's become, once you start in with something, of course, if you want to challenge yourself and grow in the sport and start doing more of it, oftentimes you're going to want to see how the other half lives and see what climbing or whatever you're up to is like in other jurisdictions. So you guys, have you done much travel with the climbing? Have you been all over the place to climb?
I've done a fair bit myself, less since I've had kids. But, I've been inside the Arctic Circle ice climbing and all the way down to, like, maybe Vegas or over to B.C. a bunch of times and upstate New York. I actually had to cancel my April trip to Vegas. There's a awesome climbing area there called Red Rocks, and it's 15 minutes away from Vegas, so it's inexpensive flights, cheap hotels, and then kind of just last time we went, we just kind of camped in the desert for 10 days, and at the end of the trip went and did a night or two in Vegas, so you get kind of to, you know, be a dirtbag and climb for 10 days and live in a tent and then go to Vegas and have the full experience.
The best of both worlds, I guess. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Vegas is a good one.
For sure. And Hudson, so what about you? Have you been traveling? I guess you've done some of your certifications off of the island, certainly. Have you done much other traveling?
Not a whole lot, really. After I started working at Walnuts, I went with Leo and with some of our other colleagues down to Colorado several years running for the Climbing Wall Summit, which is kind of the indoor climbing industry sort of major event. And so we did a lot of outdoor climbing in several different areas around kind of the region around Denver, Colorado. A couple of years ago, I, along with my colleague Sarah Spurl, who's currently our youth program director, we went out to Squamish in BC. She was actually out there for, I think, around a month before I went out there. And we got to do some climbing, and both of us did our top rope climbing instructor exams with the ACMG. I think I've been fortunate to have those couple of trips. I'd love to do more. There are a lot of great climbing areas in the eastern U.S. that are not too expensive to get to for climbers over here in Newfoundland. Certainly a lot of our staff and community members have done trips to places like Kentucky and New Hampshire, and some of the climbers in New England in particular do occasionally make trips up here to Newfoundland to find and put up some remote and difficult climbs.
Right. So how does Newfoundland stack up as a destination for climbing? I know that we do joke around that we are a big rock on the, in the middle of the North Atlantic, but there's not a whole lot of, you know, in terms of mountains, there's not a whole lot of height going on. Is that something that you really need, or is it one of the top destinations?
It depends on the type of climbing you're into. We don't necessarily have a lot of really accessible climbs with tremendous height, but for people who are focused on kind of like the what we call single pitch, like up to 100 feet tall, and of course bouldering, anyone who's driven the Trans-Canada Highway not far out of St. John's could probably imagine that there's a lot of those freestanding boulders out on the Barrens. It's kind of the same question as always for Newfoundland is like, it's not really on the way to anywhere else. So people have to get inspired and find the reason to come here. Maybe that's something that we'll see growing a little bit more, in the next little while, if people are changing their travel plans up and mainly staying within Canada, not necessarily going to the United States or to Europe as much, we might see a little bit of a boost with that. We have encountered people as we've been traveling for climbing who are planning trips here for one reason or another. And then, you know, we'll also see a lot of people who are, driving around Atlantic Canada or across the country, or maybe they're in Newfoundland for work or for a wedding or something like that, visiting family, and they'll get in touch with us and try and tag on some climbing. We do have some really cool areas. It may not be the same kind of level of destination as somewhere like Squamish or Las Vegas, but certainly there are people who do travel here for climbing.
Right, and I guess there would be a lot of people who are serious about climbing. I don't know if it's like other similar sports and pastimes, but who want to climb that place that hasn't had a lot of traffic on it. I guess that is one of the key draws to coming to Newfoundland, because we're just new in the sort of circuit, I guess. So you can, probably climb something here that's been climbed very little, if at all.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of that. And I mean, if you Google Newfoundland climbing images, you'll see a lot. And it's pretty amazing, like to be, when we're guiding, it's often normal for us to see icebergs and whales, and it's just, people will come and they just, their minds are blown. They don't even need to climb to have a good time. They're like just sitting out in Flat Rock with an iceberg and a bunch of whales jumping around, and they just can't imagine like anything cooler than that, you know? So we're definitely kind of one of a kind, as far as that's concerned, just kind of being on Iceberg Alley and having all the whales so close for Flat Rock especially. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, our community is in general, climbers are pretty environmentally conscious. They don't necessarily want to go to places with tons of people. And yeah, we've kind of fit that bill here, as you know, a little more off the beaten track, I guess.
Yes, definitely. And I know that that's helped a lot with the hiking industry. So hopefully the climbing industry will be the same. I know that Newfoundland has really kind of taken its place as a major destination for hiking. And it is because of that, you know, that we do have so much to offer, just, you know, walking along. And it's just incredible. So if you're into climbing at all, you know, I'm sure that Newfoundland will take a new place in the circuit for sure. And you guys will be a huge part of that. So as climbers yourselves, can you tell us a little bit about, you know, some personal story that you can share with our listeners to maybe inspire them? Like, do you have a most memorable local climb that you've done, or is there something working with the youth of the climbing community that you can recount for people and just to kind of give them a little bit of inspiration into climbing?
let me think on that.
Is there a local place that you've been that you, you know, you think is quite remarkable, that you think people, you know, would like to check out once they get into climbing, as something that they can look to as a sort of a destination for themselves?
I mean, I think maybe in general, like climbing is just kind of an inspirational sport anyway, and people really have to experience it to get that. You know, you can go to anywhere on the East Coast Trail when you're hiking and be just completely inspired and surrounded by nature. And I think that kind of by default, having that as a part of your sport, whether it's hiking or sea kayaking or mountain biking, is kind of the best part for me, is just, you know, being out there with a couple of friends and yeah, just kind of experiencing nature. So if, you know, I think if people are looking for a sport that they, you know, if they're already into hiking or outdoor activities and they're looking for something to build strength that doesn't involve maybe team sports or going to a gym, if that's not their thing, then climbing might be that thing. And so I think just in general, pretty much every time I go climbing, it's kind of inspiring, and especially you know, Flat Rock. And so I wouldn't say that there's maybe any one climb or one day that's the most memorable. I think that it's like pretty much every time you're out there, it's amazing.
Right. How about you, Hudson? Have you got any stories or any particular place that you think sort of epitomizes climbing for you?
I'd say, I mean, to a large extent, I agree with Leo. You know, it's always great to be out there, and Flat Rock is a pretty awesome space to just kind of spend the day in and watch the whales go by between climbs. You know, some of the like less traveled and out of the way areas that are even like really close to the city, there's some climbs that are not necessarily like the most visually stunning or the tallest or hardest, but, you know, some areas in around Kitty Vitty and that kind of area, they're really kind of just fun to pop into for the afternoon. And yeah, just put in a few laps on the rock and have a good time. You know, traveling for climbing is a lot of fun, and I'd like to do a bit more of that. And you know, certainly getting on some really tall climbs where you're at it for a few hours and just making a lot of upward progress, that's a lot of fun for me as well. I like to, when I'm traveling anyway, I like to kind of get on a climb where I feel like I'm getting somewhere, you know, not just going up to the top and coming back down, but really like, you know, getting to the top of a ridge line and seeing a nice view and making a good day of it is really, really enjoyable for me.
Yes, it certainly is. There's lots of nooks and crannies all around Newfoundland and Labrador that we can explore. And whether you choose to do that by climbing or diving or kayaking or biking or whatever you're up to, we want to hear all about it. And that's what we're here to celebrate here on the Outdoor Hour. I want to thank you both so much for being my guests. It's been a great show. And if you guys missed the show on Wednesday evenings, on Sunday evenings at 5. You can catch it again on Wednesday evenings at 7. And, of course, it's available anytime online at VOCM.com. Don't forget to check out our new Facebook and Instagram pages, and you can have a look for a post all about these guys at Walnuts Climbing. Thank you so much again, guys. It's been great. Have a great time in the outdoors. This is Leslie Ann Corrigan on the Outdoor Hour on your VOCM.